At this time of year, we have a lot to do with angels. We sing songs like "Angels We Have Heard on High," "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." We also hear a lot about them in the scriptures, how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, and then also to Mary. An angel appeared to Joseph, and the angels, a great multitude, appeared to the shepherds out in the field, telling them to go see the newborn king. And so I thought today would be a good day for us to take a look together at angels, the angelic hosts, angels, spirits, and demons. What does God want us to know about them? Who are they? What are they like? Are they real? How do they interact with us? How much of a role do they play in our lives? What do we need to know about them? So let's take a look today at angels and see what God would teach us about them in His Word. First of all, let's just ask this question: are angels real? Are there spirits? Do fallen angels also exist? Well, if you ask the world, who has a pseudoscience as their god, if you can't put it under a microscope, they say it doesn't exist. So they don't believe in these things. Even though many people in the world do believe, they don't believe. Certain ones don't. But we're going to go to the one who knows the answer, to the one who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. He ought to know, right? And he tells us that these creatures do indeed exist. And in fact, they're all about you as we go through our morning service even. We can take a look at Job, for example, which we read a few moments ago. God says there, he's speaking to Job, and he says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Those sons of God, those morning stars, are angels that sang to God at the creation of the world. They were there at the beginning. They were there down through human history. We can turn over here to Genesis chapter 19. We read, "The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom." Remember, they came down from the Lord to destroy those wicked cities. Angels they were. If you look over at Genesis 32, "Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is the Lord's army.'" Have you ever heard the phrase, I'm sure you have, "the Lord of hosts"? That's the Lord of Tzavah in the Hebrew, which means Lord of armies. He's the God of angel armies. This is our God, the God of the angels, who created them, these invisible creatures in the invisible places. And we see even there all over the Bible, to the New Testament days. Let's look at John 20, verse 11. This is at Jesus' resurrection. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain." And then they give her a message. So do you believe in angels? Spirits, even fallen spirits. Well, how many of these are around us? How many you think are around us right now? How many did God create? Just a couple? A bunch? A few? If we look at John in Revelation chapter 5, John has a picture. He sees into the invisible places God allows him to see, and he sees heaven. He says, "I looked and I heard it around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" They're praising Jesus Christ up there. There are many angels. How many are in this room, the sanctuary this morning, do you think? Think there's one angel here watching over the preaching of the word and your ears to hear it? Or five? How many are you here, angels? They're not going to answer out loud. How many are over the building right now, watching over the preaching of Jesus Christ? Well, we don't know precisely, but we know that there's probably very many right here, right now, though you can't see them. Remember that scene in the Old Testament where Elijah is surrounded by an enemy army. The Syrian king has come to murder him because he can't stand that Elijah keeps giving all of his secrets to the king of Israel. I mean, because Elijah is right there in his bedroom by his spirit, discerning what's going on. And so he wants to murder Elisha. And we read over here that the servant of Elisha, the man of God, rose early in the morning and went out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots was round about the city. And the servant basically cried to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He was freaking out because all these guys are there to kill them, a huge army of people. Elisha's not worried. Elisha, then it says, he says, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." "What do you mean?" would say the servant. And Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Ooh, wow, that's a beautiful scene. What if you could have your eyes opened right now to see what armies, what chariots, what creatures would it be around us to protect and guard the preaching and your ways today? Well, are they around you all the time? Think about it. Very encouraging. So who or what are these creatures? Well, first of all, angels are persons. You've heard of Gabriel. They have names. Gabriel means God is my strength. Wouldn't you like him for your angel? Another one is Michael. That's my middle name, by the way. And it is he who is like God. There's another Michael over there. He who is like God. You've heard of the fallen, the evil spirits, the fallen angels. You have names like we are legion, for we are many, like an army of them. You've heard in Revelation of Abaddon and Apollyon. For their name, his name means destroyer. And of course, Satan, his name is adversary. And what do they look like, these angels? They have actually bodies, but not material bodies like you and I have. Remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and he appears to the disciples, he says, "See my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." But angels then don't have flesh and bones like you and I have for their bodies, but they have spiritual bodies nevertheless, because when people see them, they're localized. They're not just like thin air. They're localized, and they seem to have the appearance of men. For example, we read there in Mark chapter 16, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in the white robe, and they were amazed." Think you've seen an angel? Raise your hand if you think you've seen an angel. Well, just a couple of you. Well, be careful about practicing hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels without even knowing about it, says Hebrews 13. They don't like you to see them. In fact, they cover themselves so that you can't see them. God covers your eyes so that you can't see them. But nevertheless, by faith we see them, namely that they are around. We know that they are. And they're far more glorious than we are in their natural abilities and in their looks. As beautiful as y'all are today, and y'all are very beautiful, angels, if you see them, they are far exceeding in glory. If you read there in Matthew 28, let's turn there in Matthew 28, verse 2-4. This is at Jesus' resurrection once again. And we read, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing, his raiment, white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." What's the usual response when a person meets an angel? Is it leaping for joy? Basically, no. It's falling down as though you're dead as if you just came into close proximity with 10,000 volts of electricity. That's the experience people have of meeting an angel. And in the Bible, angels, you see, they have eyes appearing like flames of fire. About their breast, it looks gold. Beryl is another jewel. They have arms and legs as if of burnished bronze. So if you've ever thought of an angel as some cute little baby in a diaper with a harp shooting a little bow and arrow, get that right out of your mind. It is crap. I said earlier today I wasn't going to say that word, but I said it anyway. That is nothing to do with an angel or wings. We don't see angels with wings in the Bible. They appear as men, but far more glorious, like lightning. Think about it. And are these creatures around us at the very moment? They are God's army, but if you want to look at it this way, we are God's army. Because we're on the ground, they are the Air Force, streaking over the skies as with the sound of thunder, as a splitting the air by their swift flights, like great jets, such as their power. So let's consider next, what kinds of angels are there? Basically, in short, you could say there are two kinds, the good and the evil. There is the angels of light and the angels of darkness. The good angels and the bad. For in the good, you see in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. They do his will. The angels are running in swift flight here and there, wherever God sends them to do good. But then we have the evil angels as well. For in Luke 7, we read, in that hour, Jesus cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. Evil spirits. Often in the Bible, they're pictured as and described as vipers, locusts, scorpions. If you could see them in the spiritual realms, they would appear as foul, dark, shadowy creatures, are these evil spirits. Now, where do you get evil spirits from? I mean, didn't God create everything good? Everything God made was good. What happened? Well, one of those angels, a very high-ranking one, rebelled, committed high treason against God because he looked at himself in the mirror and said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And he should have said God, but he said, no, myself. And he wanted to exalt himself to take the very throne of God and be worshipped. That's why the devil, when he came, he said to Jesus, all these I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be God. He committed high treason, and his tail swept down to the third of the stars with him. Other angels rebelled with Satan against God. We read in Revelation chapter 12, war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated. And there was no longer any place for them found in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So if you could see into invisible places right now, we'd have to take great heed and beware, for there is a dragon. Think of that, a great red dragon with many crowns and with seven heads, a fierce creature on the loose in this world we live in, with his army bent only on evil. These are the fallen angels that left their proper dwelling and have been cast down and became shadows, creatures of darkness. So what are their purposes? What are the purposes of angels? Well, it depends on which ones you're talking about, right? If you have the good, there's a different purpose. We'll get to them in a moment. Let's talk about the purposes of evil angels. What are they after? In short, to steal and kill and destroy. I saw this video on, I don't know if it's Drudge Report or something, a couple of months ago, that apparently on a baby monitor, some of these creatures might have been caught sort of on film. They like to be unseen, but I don't know why, but made the hair in the back of my head stand up to see it, because this mother was downstairs. Her mom, the baby was up in the crib upstairs. They had a baby video monitor on, and she heard her baby stirring and crying and disturbed. So she went to look at the monitor, and they had the record video of it. There were three shadowy men standing over the crib. It was just makes your hair stand on the back of your neck up. They're bent on evil. They want to create trouble in your life. They want to hurt. They want to harm. They want to destroy. They want to, and this is their motto, kill, kill, kill. The devil, I believe, is likened to Leviathan in the book of Job, or you could relate him to that. Round about his teeth is terror, and dancing in his wake, he wants to leave behind him in his wake of his tail, death, wherever he goes. He is, as Jesus says, a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Is this prince of darkness and his shadowy co-conspirators. Therefore, we need to remember today something, and we see it, and the world doesn't, but we see it, that we are contending not against flesh and blood human beings as Christians, that's not our enemy, but against the princes, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And what has been placed into your hands, O friends, O Christians? The king's own sword, Excalibur. Jesus, if you want to liken him to King Arthur, his sword was unstoppable. His sword is the word of God. And by means of his sword, the word, you can slay a dragon. You can dispatch and cause and put to flight the enemy if you but take it up. The word of God. And I've met these creatures, both kinds. I'm sure you have too, because we're always dealing with these things in invisible places. But I know a lot of nights when I'm going to preach the next morning, I get visited at night in my dreams by evil spirits. Namely, they try to disrupt my sleep. I'll be sleeping, and then the dream will start to turn very dark, and then a shadowy dark figure will appear and start coming at me. And if I recognize it in time, I can whip out the word and get it. But if not, it's as if I am stunned by touching electricity, as if I'm in a car at night with the rain coming down, and there are power lines all down on the ground, and I step out of the car, and I'm just shocked. Have you ever experienced that? Well, I have. You can't talk, you can't move, you're paralyzed, and I begin calling on Jesus' name. But at first I can't get it out. It's like, and then I keep going, Jesus, 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 save me, Jesus, save me. And Beth can bear me witness. I wake up at night, many nights, Jesus, save me. And boom, they run away. They run before the name of Jesus Christ. But it's a battle. We got to fight in a battle. It's not an easy battle. Even the angels, the good angels, warring against the others, they have struggles that go on for some time. Fight, take up that word, it always wins. Excalibur has never lost, it slays dragons. Take up the word of God, and especially the name of Jesus Christ. So that is the purpose of the evil angels. They're like the air force of the German Luftwaffe. They're streaking over, trying to strafe you and cut you down, but we have the power to win. But what else is on our side is the good angels. They are mightier than the evil. And we have the air force of God. Isn't that beautiful to know that? If we are God's army, they are God's air force, ready to assist us in every part of our lives, to help us to believe in Jesus Christ and to walk in the good and straight way of our King. Told you the story a number of times over the years, but I got to share it again because I love it. I was flying up to New England one time on a jet, and I sat next to a guy who was formerly an Army Ranger, and he'd been in war in Afghanistan. He told me on the plane that one time he and his platoon of Army Rangers were getting forced, pressed in by a 1,000-man army with tanks charging in, and they were backed up. They were all the way into the sea. They were up to their chests, firing their machine guns at the army just coming over the hill, and they knew they had seconds left to live. He told me with his own voice. And he said they were calling desperately on the radio, "We need an airstrike, we need an airstrike, headquarters, we need, you know, send some F-15s. Well, there were no F-15s in the area, but there were two A-10 Thunderbolts in the vicinity. And they got the orders and they came over, and he told me, I get chills to think of it, he said they came streaking in over the skies 100 feet over the deck, over the water, right over their heads, roar, and boom, took out all the tanks and all the people in one big fireball, and they were saved. That's what angels are on our side. Amen?
Amen.
But you got a call. Well, they'll help even if we don't call, but we got a call, and they come on account of our prayers. That's what the angel Gabriel told Daniel. I have come on account of your words, that God dispatches them. Oh, what power is on your side, oh friends? What power? Jesus says, don't you think that I can't appeal to my Father and he'll at once send me 12 legions of angels? He could have done it, but he didn't in that case because he knew he had to go to the cross to save us. But in the garden shortly before, he prayed, and we read in Luke 22, there appeared to him an angel strengthening him. Oh, do you want some strength today? If they but touch you with that electricity, courage and power will strengthen and come into you. What are their purposes? Are to worship God. That's the angel's purpose, the good ones. To worship Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 says, God says, let all God's angels worship him, my son. And they are there to help us, to encourage us, to give us power, and to protect us. You've heard of the word guardian angel? Well, there are guardian angels. Are they not all ministering spirits, Hebrews 1 says, sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation? That's Christians. That's God's own children. They're there to serve you by God's command. He will give his angels charge of you, Psalm 91 says, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Was not Daniel a recipient of an angel's help when he went into the lion's den and the king called, are you alive, Daniel? Did your God save you? And he said, yes, God, my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they've not hurt me. His friends, a few chapters previous, were thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And the king astonished and rose up in haste, and he said to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men into the fire? How is it then that now I see 4 men loose in the fire, and the 4th one appears to be a son of the gods, an angel to deliver them? Peter in the New Testament was in prison the very night Herod was about to bring him out and have him killed before the people. And he was sleeping bound and in chains with sentries about the door guarding the prison. But an angel of the Lord appeared and light began to shine in the cell. And he struck Peter on the side. Isn't that great? He's not just like, oh, please get up, Peter. Please let me sing you a lullaby. He's like, get up quickly. Oh, okay. And he gets dressed, and the angel leads him out, and the gates open of their own accord before them, and he comes out to freedom. It's an angel. 2 weeks before Beth and I got married, I was in a car accident, and there were 2 trucks ahead of me, one coming this way and one ahead of me. They collided. This big, huge Acme laundry truck. You know those things? You ever seen them? Big red truck. I pulled off the road to get out of the way, and this truck lost its front tire and came and careened and hit me this far away. Pretend that's the banner. That's the truck. He hit me right there. That's when he hit my car driver's side door. I went from a dead stop, 20 feet into the air, crashed into a pine tree, destroyed my axle on my truck. All the windows were broken. The car was total maximum destruction. It was gone, destroyed, maximum impact. And I came out of it without a scratch. I had not a bruise on my body. The next morning, I did not feel even the tiniest bit sore. I was, in a word, perfect. An angel? Think about it. They're around for all of us. He is the king of the angels, Jesus is, and their job principally is to point us to him. They don't want the attention on themselves. They're like, no, don't think about us. You think about him. We're going to help you serve Jesus. And let's talk about Jesus for a moment. He's the king of the angels. He's the prince of heaven. And that's why the fallen angels got real upset when Jesus arrived on the scene when he was born. Satan inspired Herod to try to kill all the children 2 years old and younger. And when Jesus arrived in the synagogue, there was a spirit of an unclean demon in a man. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." How did he know it? That unclean spirit in him knew him before up above, and he could see, "I know this man. That's the prince of heaven. We're in big trouble." And Jesus says, "Come out of him." And he came out of him, having done him no harm. The devil said, "Fall down and worship me." And Jesus whipped out his sword. It is written. Excalibur never loses. And the devil was dispatched that day. And then when Jesus is going to the cross, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself," says the king. And he did. He died for our sins. You know it. He rose on the third day from the dead. And he ascended to the right hand of God. And we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. You have the forgiveness of sins, redemption, salvation, through his blood, received by faith. And you are now more than conquerors through him who loves you. Isn't that great? God's delivered you from the dominion of darkness. He's transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And now, guess what? You used to be below demons. Jesus set you and gave you authority over the unclean spirits. And now they have to run because of your power and the word inside of you, Jesus Christ. Think about this. One more story here. Naomi, when she was 3 years old in St. Louis, she came running into our room one night. "Oh, the Marys are after me. The Marys are after me." I'm like, "The Marys? Who on earth are the Marys? What is the Marys?" So I had her describe it. And she described, as a three-year-old, three dark spirits that were hovering over her, and she was terrified. I was like, she's talking. I'm like, "I know what's going on here." So I'm like, "All right, Naomi, these things pretend to have power over you, but you're a Christian. You can command them to go in Jesus' name. So if they come tomorrow night, do that." "Okay, Daddy." Well, the next night, she came running into our room again, midnight. The Marys came, but no problem. I told them to scram, and they scrammed. And she was so excited, the power of Jesus. And I was thinking, how humiliating. Think about this, in the unseen places, for these dark spirits, call themselves princes, vie for power, make so much of themselves, now they have to run before a three-year-old toddler who has Jesus' name and the word of God. Praise be to the Lord. How marvelous is God in all of his works. These are things, Peter says, the good news is of our gospel are things into which angels long to look with their burning eyes, into our gospel that we believe. "Crown him the Lord of love," says the hymn. "Behold his hands, his side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified." No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright. Oh, that's good. So, final word is I don't want you to be focusing on angels. We shouldn't focus on demons or even the good angels. We're happy for the good. We're against the bad. But we focus on God, okay? We focus on Jesus Christ. We focus on loving one another and living out our Christian life. But it's good to know, as God's army, not only that we have the unstoppable Excalibur, which will win in every battle, God and Jesus and his word, but over us also, through the skies, there is even an air force. We have friends in high places. In Jesus' name, amen.